my 4-year-old step-granddaughter has discovered hide-and-seek. She now insists when we meet that I play hide-and-seek with her. And being a very dutiful grandparent, I do as I'm told. More because she has a very powerful way of making her point, and I won't go into that any further than that. She's keen that I play with her. And recently I was across and she was there, and we decided we would play hide and seek, and I was to hide. And I found a very good hiding place, and she couldn't find me. And I waited for the shout to come, "Grandpa, where are you?" And it didn't come. There was no noise whatsoever. She had given up looking. And so I came out from my hiding place and tried to teach her that the game is not over until the hiding person is found. And 4 years old, but with a great deal of common sense, "Grandpa, make your hiding place easier to find the next time." It's the females. God sent Moses to bring the people of Israel out of slavery. He was commissioned for the task. It wasn't a game. And Moses could not give up because he couldn't find them. They were there, the people of Israel. They were lost. And they were God's people. They were to be led in such a way that they would find God, the God whom they believed had given up on them. They thought that God had stopped looking. Jesus commissioned Peter, the same Peter who had sworn to follow him and who then denied him. And he was not simply to follow, but to go out and feed the lambs and the sheep. And as you read the Gospels, you discover that Jesus had a special concern for those who were lost. He was passionate about seeking them from wherever they were. And he maintained that God, his Father, was passionate as well. Great chunks of Jesus' ministry was focused on searching for those who had lost touch with the community. Tax collectors, lepers, lunatics, blind, the hungry, the poor, and whether they were victims of circumstance or whether they had made bad choices, he wanted to know why they were lost. And he listened to their stories. He accepted invitations to their homes. He looked straight into their eyes and their faces. And all this did not make him popular with those whom Burns would have called the unco goods, the scribes and the Pharisees. But it gave him perspective on human life, which overcame many, many barriers. Perhaps there have been moments, perhaps there will be moments to come, when you will think of yourself as being lost. Or you remember the time when you were perhaps absolutely certain where you were, where you were going, and what you were going to be doing. But there are moments when we are lost and we wonder what the future will hold for us. Some of us may be suffering an addiction. Some where someone you know has turned their back on family or friend, or maybe on you. Lost in the aftermath of tragedy. There are times in life when events just happen to us. Your company decides to cut back and you lose your job. Your parents tell you over breakfast one day that they have decided to go their own ways and you haven't a clue where you're going. The split is serious, not only for those who move away from one another, but from those that they have created and for whom they have responsibility. Some may suffer the sadness and the sorrow of a miscarriage. It may be that you lose a parent or a partner. And at that moment, invariably, there is a pouring out of sympathy from those who are friends and neighbors and family. But in a week or two later, the unspoken expectation is that things will be back to normal. And when that happens, people stop looking out for you. And that means that they stop looking out for your good. We so often stop searching and helping just at the very point when we are needed the most. And you and I, we're not four-year-old children. We're adults with life experience. A four-year-old might give up looking, but we should not. We should be there searching and helping at the very point when we are needed. It is easy, very easy, for those in need to slip into the masses who are lost and so come to accept that no one is looking out for them. Scripture to Moses, go. Scripture to Peter, feed my lambs. Take care of my sheep. And this morning, quite by coincidence, we hear of the possibility of a service for those who are in need, perhaps to be closed down. But also we hear in that same intimation, opportunity for us all to find a way of helping to maintain a service which does so much good for those who so badly need it. Someone I know kept a journal, a diary, and he tells that he wrote in it after his baby son died, and he recorded a happening at his local church. Several months later, after the death of his child, a man asked my friend, well, are you back on your feet again? Something that most of us have done at some time or another. And my friend said that he understood that man's need to see him recovering. For the question was asked by a man who himself had young children. My friend said that he could not pretend to be what he wasn't. And so he blurted out, "Am I back on my feet? No, I bloody am not. I'm still flat on my back." I believe that response was an invitation. Indeed, it was a plea to keep looking out for him and his family. And he needed desperately to know that he was still precious to people and to God. He needed to go forward, believing that he and his family were still precious, precious to God and to all who were around him, that his loss was also their loss. It mattered whether he would ever rise from where he was to stand upright on his feet. He needed to have someone who was prepared to wait for him and to wait with him. Our families look upon us with love and concern, and we learn that we are precious. One of the things which brings me great joy, that my three children, who are all getting on in years, are regularly phoning me up to make sure that I am okay. But we need to think not only of family, but those who are outside of family. Family look upon us with love and concern, and so we learn that we are precious, and it would be important to be found if hidden. It matters so much that God commissions people out of their norm to lead others out of slavery, and he gave his only son that we should be free. Ministers are supposed to have vocations. We have been called, and I believe that to be true. But that doesn't mean that you are not called. For we together, minister and people, are God's children, called, pointed in directions where we might go to help those who are in great need. Our vocation as the people of God is to know God has called us so that we might go forward to be searchers, that we might be seekers, to be comforters, that we are to go forward in the strength of the Holy Spirit that is given to us on our baptism or on our confirmation. We go forward in faith. Faith using all our skills and our talents and our energies to bring people out into society, into the world, where they can use their gifts and their talents to find joy and pleasure in life. We are to understand that the game of life is not over until every last person has been found. To Moses, go. To Peter, a commission. To all of us, neighbors, family, friends, colleagues. We are to be there, searching, finding, and leading people forward into the life that God would give us all. And may God bless the preaching of His word.